This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Murray steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point!
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus.
Plus minus, plus minus.
Hello and welcome to a Milwaukee edition of the Warriors plus minus podcast. Warriors, one of the few teams in the league that will stay over in Milwaukee instead of flying to Dallas, because they have, you know, half their franchise basically has some type of Milwaukee tie, right? Including, by the way, their newest member, Jimmy Butler, went to Marquette University.
Yeah. They have a lot of people there. Was he surrounded by friends?
He was much more Looney, Pajemski, Chris DeMarco. I'm not saying Jimmy Butler doesn't care about his Marquette past, but it didn't seem like that was much here. And also, he's been a playoff villain in this city before, right?
Yes, he has. Giannis before. Yes. Well, they're 2-0 in the Jimmy Butler era, Slater. I think they look different. I will say it. No Giannis tonight. Obviously, the Bulls are the Bulls. But two games, they just looked different. I don't even think Butler played that great tonight. But just
he
by
didn't being, either. Yeah. He did not think he did either. We'll talk about that.
But just by doing that stuff, like it is sometimes like somebody can just get you three baskets over, you know, a 4-minute period. It really matters when you're good enough, when you got Steph Curry at other things. And it was just like three baskets, a couple free throws. I love Kerr, you know, talking about the power of the free throws. I wrote about that in my column. Don't know when it's going to post. Those matter. I stop the game. The crowd's quiet. You get to the line. You score points. You set up your defense. How many times have teams done that to the Warriors? And they've never really done it to anybody else for a long time, as I got from the Warriors stat guru, Daryl Arada. 15 free throws today, 13 last game. That's 28 free throws for Butler in two games, the most in a two-game stretch for Warriors since Kevin Durant with 30 in 2019. That is significant. It's just significant. To get into anything stat line with Kevin Durant is pretty significant for the Warriors.
Yeah, and his first two games, it's funny, though. I went up to him. I was like, is 15 a lot of free throws to you? He's like, no, not really. He's like, the three misses are a lot. You know? I mean, and again, like, it's not like he averages. You know, nobody ever averages this many. So these are two high free throw games for him. He's not going to continually, you know, double digits every night. He's more of like an 8-9 free throw type guy. Yeah. That's a lot. But it's just, it is funny. I do feel like he's like, man, they really did not have what I'm given, because it's like, I don't think he feels like he's just like, oh man, I'm overpowering. I can't believe how many times I'm getting to the line. He's just like, I'm kind of playing my game. And I mean, you mentioned it. He feels like not only the three free throw misses he was mad about, but his jumper's really flat, particularly his three right now. He's almost afraid to shoot it. And his point is like, look, I haven't played basketball in over a month. He said he played a little bit of pickup in San Diego. when, you know, he was on suspension. Like he, but, you know, we're talking about 5-on-5 runs with some locals. And he's like, that is not NBA basketball. So he's like saying he's nowhere close wind wise, conditioning wise. He actually had Steve Kerr call a timeout in his first 5-minute stint in Chicago, which some of the guys were laughing at him about. But I mean, to his point, like, he does, he feels like he's going to be able to do a lot more and put much more of an imprint, you know, a thumb on the game later, you know, come post All-Star break, really. And like, among the many things that I think Warriors fans, followers themselves internally should feel good about is, like, I do think there's an extra level of Butler that's even coming.
I agree. I was thinking that even as I was watching, because I've seen Butler play much better than this, but it still makes a difference. I think the difference we saw tonight was in Steph. That fourth quarter, when he comes back after his rest, you know, he's back to the old rotation, only 2 rests a game, comes back in with about the 8:20 mark, whatever that was. And he just looks so fresh. He hit a 3, then Quentin Post takes over the game. But that's with Butler out. But because Steph can rest these longer rests, and he can play without stress, or without at least as much stress, he's just a lot freer and he's a lot looser. And he's been scoring 32, 37, but it was like 35 shots against the Lakers. I think it was 31 shots against Utah. And the shots were 17 shots, I think, in Chicago. And I think it was 24 shots, whatever it was tonight. Like, it's just a lot less stuff that he's got to do, a lot less forced shots, and he can be more efficient and he can be better at the end. And I thought he was really good, just efficient and strong. He wasn't making everything, but I just thought he played really well tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the signature quote of his post game was, every possession doesn't feel as hard right now with Jimmy Butler. You know, and he's like, I might be getting doubled as much. I might be seeing as much attention, but he's way more confident that, hey, if you flip it, you know, into a 4-on-3 on the back end, it's going to produce something better, and it just more consistently. And yeah, I mean, like, this, it's the point of the deal. It's what he's been calling for in a lot of ways all season. I obviously know he had that presser in Toronto that had people believing that, like, you know, he didn't want them to sell the farm or whatever, and he still didn't. And by the way, they didn't sell the farm. No. But he's been wanting a significant offensive weapon next to him. And while I do think, you know, the front office should be credited, I think, in a lot of ways for it being Butler and that being the final choice, because I mean, we've reported about some of the skepticism, but, you know, that was less about court fit. It looks really good early on. And I mean, he's really fitting in the locker room too, which, again, we knew he was going to come in, especially with an extension and you know, attempt.
Yeah, so they bought that with that extension. Well, $57 million of Joe Lacob's money. They bought that, but that's the cost of it. And it's worth it at this point. It's just worth it to see Steph not drooping shoulders. You know, how many times do we see that? We're joking about how many times he's got to get up there on the post game and give the existential explanation for what's going on here. And that's not happening now. And I don't think it's going to happen for the rest of the season. They may not, you know, bustle in the 6th seed or whatever, although it's doable. I think they're 2.5 out of the 6, I think.
Steve Kerr is calling that the target.
Yeah, it's doable. But they're going to have relevance for the rest of the season. And that's what Steph Curry wants. That's what obviously they want more than that, but that was kind of the low bar, and they've got it with Jimmy Butler there. And they didn't have to give up a ton to do it. They didn't have to give up Kuminga. Now they could do this and go, okay, we've got things straightened out. And now we got Kuminga coming back after the All-Star break. And you might have two of these guys. You know, Kuminga's not as polished, certainly not as accomplished as Jimmy Butler, but he does some other things. And if he just patterns his game after what Butler's doing, you could have Butler going good, Steph obviously being Steph, and Kuminga interchangeable. Play two of them at a time. A lot of interesting things can go from there. And you can be, as if you're a Warriors player or a coach or a fan or an owner or a general manager, go, you know what? There's some interesting basketball to be played this season. And that was really, I think, the goal throughout the 12-3 start. We know they're not that team. But once things started getting off kilter, just get themselves back into where they're going to play meaningful basketball. I talked to Steph, you know, right before the Butler trade and put out the interview this morning. He just said, I want to play meaningful basketball. That's what I mean, meaningful basketball. And the last two games have been meaningful basketball, headed towards even more meaning over the next few months.
Yeah, next few days, a couple big games in Texas.
Dallas, baby. Dallas, baby.
Yeah, they had 16 steals tonight.
Yep.
Draymond had 5. Jimmy Butler had 4. You've seen it in a couple games already with Butler. He's like really – he gambles a little bit, but it's that sneaky, like he'll come – somebody's posting up, he'll come behind them and with the strip. He's got really good hands. Again, there's like – it's stuff we knew about him, but, you know, when you watch it in kind of in a more nuanced, you know, minute-by-minute way and, you know, considering what they didn't have and – you know, I would say when they were at this best, when they were at their best this season during that 12-3 start, their defensive formula was disruption, you know, a little bit more double teams, you know, taking risks to try to, you know, pick a pocket of a guy, you know, who's in the post. And not that they're going to be fully back to that. I think Melton was a big part of that. I do think Butler's two-way ability, his defense, it does provide something too. And I think you saw it tonight with 4 steals.
He just, and a couple of those, just pull the ball out of somebody's hands stuff.
Yeah.
And they haven't been doing that. Iguodala. Like Kerr mentioned Iguodala at the beginning, and I go, I don't really see that. I think he was more talking about his brain, his IQ, but, you know, just that the ball's there. You think you have it. I now have it, and we're going the other way. If I touch the ball, it's my ball. Pajemski's got a little of that, and I think that's kind of what Pajemski's feeling, and he's played 2 really good games. I think plus 26 last game and like plus 20 or whatever, 18 this game. Not shooting the ball great, but he just feeds into that Butler mode, and you can see Kerr's playing Draymond, Butler, and Pajemski for some time when when Curry's out, and they're winning their period.
They're
winning
plus 6 without Steph tonight.
Yep, amazing. Plus three. And yeah. If they do that, they win the game. Like, that's just the formula for winning a game, because you're going to be plus when Steph's playing almost every single time.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Pajemski. I would say he's playing well really since he came back from injury. Like, pretty consistent run. Moody continues, you know, what's really been a good stretch of basketball for him. And then Quentin Post, you know, he doesn't start. Steve Kerr said he didn't start Post because he didn't want to throw him into Damian Lillard, you know, drop coverage, pick and roll targeting early on. And you could see he kind of got Post away from the Lillard minutes somewhat. But I believe it was 13 points in 13 minutes for Post, 4 threes. They were talking up some of those threes in the post-game locker room, like Buddy Hield and Steph. They were even trying to tell him to get in the three-point contest. So one was a sidestep, like dribble sidestep three, and then everybody was like stunned about the one from the deep one on the wing where he almost kind of like looked off Steph. There was like 20 on the shot clock, but they were like, hey, you're hot. You know, that's what shooters do. He had earned the heat check, and they were like almost proud of the rookie for like taking the heat check that he had earned. That's again, I worry about him against better teams, against, you know, stars.
They were attacking him tonight, right? Yeah. Milwaukee was attacking him. It's just the way it's going to be.
It is, but it's like, man, you know, he kind of changed the game with his shooting. Yep. Like, this is a legitimate 3-point shot. Like, he's already one of the better shooting bigs in the league. Just pure, like, just looks like a shooter at 7 foot. Like, that is, it's an NBA skill.
Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, you do talk about the, you know, the Vucevic stuff. He's not as good as Vucevic right now, but yeah, I'd rather have him than Vucevic at this point, given him the money he's making, the control you have over his contract, and what he might get better. And Vucevic is, again, I don't watch the Bulls that much. I watch a lot of other teams. The two games against the Warriors, Vucevic stunk on defense and did not do much offensively. Quentin Post is problematic on defense for sure, but he might turn into something on offense, and he's had a couple really nice games. And listen, they're tuning it up on the offense. They're going to have some problems on defense. Quentin Post is part of that. Having to put Moody on Lillard, Moody would not be the number one guy. You would raise up your hand and say, go guard Damian Lillard. He did okay. You know, it's going to be a problem. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
What are they going to do against John Morant in a playoff series? You know, what are they going to do? Shea Gilgeous, exactly. Jalen Green. I mean, all, and those are teams that they're lined up to play if they get through the play-in. And they're going to have some problems with that. There's no question. GP2 can't play all those minutes you got to score points, and he's just not a guy who can score points. He'll get some of the minutes, but he's not going to get 35 minutes. But they've gone, you know, they've made that gamble. I get it. They were so bad offensively, they were losing games on offense. They are not going to lose in the same way as Kerr said. Like, these are two games we could have lost. What he meant was, these are two games where offense might have been so terrible that we were going to lose. And that's not where they are now. They're not probably a great offensive team, but they're solid now, trending towards good, which you should be with Steph Curry, but they were just terrible, even with Steph Curry. And then Steph gets hot, they're great. So it just kind of, it balances them out. And then they're going to have Kuminga. I do think the Kuminga thing is a big thing. Like, you know, this thing is, could go to another level with Kuminga. It might not, we'll see, but that's where they could go. Okay. We have this thing going, and then we add Kuminga to this, and there's going to be a 3 seed or a 2 seed that does not want to play us.
We'll kind of get to that fit at some point, but I would say, you know, when he comes back, he has a level of individual defense he can play.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, I think they're going to need to try to see if he can get to that level and say, hey, Wiggins is gone, Butler's here. You know, they need him to be more of an individual defender, which I think earlier in his career he showed more promise on that than lately. But we'll see. And then, look, there's probably going to be a lot of pressure on Butler to guard, you know, at times, especially, you know, playoff games, to guard the opponent's best player. But, you know, historically, that's Jimmy Butler. It's a playoff game. He will guard Giannis for stretches of mm-hmm. playoff games in the past, especially when he knows it's that level of stage. So we'll see, though, because, again, like, I don't know. He is also 35. He's had his fair share of injuries. You don't want to overburden him on a night.
You don't want him to guard Ja like that. You don't want to do that. That might be Kuminga. Kuminga's had minutes against Ja before. I don't know that he's been great at it. He's young enough, and, you know, he's a guy you don't worry that much about tiring out. I would really worry that you put Jimmy Butler on Ja, you lose him offensively. I think that's happened to him in some playoff series, and certainly as you get older, you threaten that. But, yeah, Kuminga is their shot at that. And, again, he is an interesting thing to think about now if we're talking about them getting to the 7 or to the 6. I can't believe I just said that, but I think they could get to the 6.
Well, we could go over it quick. Yeah. So the Suns are free falling, right? Yeah. They just seem like it's like they're probably in the worst situation of anybody in that glump of the West. The Spurs, since they got Fox, he's played pretty well, but they haven't impressed. They lost the, you know, I think Orlando and Charlotte. So the Suns are now, like, the Warriors are ahead of the Suns. So if you look in the direct vicinity, the Mavericks, who they're going to play on Wednesday, do not have a center right now. Anthony Davis could be out at least a month, it sounds like. Lively's out another couple months. Did you see Daniel Gafford left tonight?
Yep.
Looked like a bad knee injury. They lose. They're having issues with the fans or rioting or revolting, I guess you would say. They had to eject a few. Jason Kidd didn't hold a post-game press conference tonight. Did you see
really?
That?
Really? I did not see that.
Yeah. Jesus. So it's not good there. You know, if they can go in and get that win, especially with Dallas not having a center, I think that sets them up real well. They'd actually hop Dallas in the standings.
Yep.
Sacramento, you know, that's one team. I mean, they're very wobbly right now with no more Fox. So at that point, if you can get ahead of Dallas, you're just looking at two more teams to get up to 6. You're not getting past 6, in my opinion.
No.
There's five.
Well, six is the Clippers, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Clippers and Timberwolves are the two teams that, to me, they feel tough to reach. Clippers right now are 29-23, 6 games above 500. But I think if you have a really, really strong finish, then, yeah, 6 is obtainable. And then you're sitting there playing, you know, you're firmly in the playoffs. But, again, then you're probably playing Denver, maybe the Grizzlies, maybe the Lakers. Like, it'll be tough, but, yeah, that's the target.
6 would be amazing from where they were. It really would be. But it's mostly achievable because all those other teams are stinking right now more than, you know, this greatness of the Warriors. But, hey, that's the position you're in, and they put the pedal down. You know, they go, well, they got 19 games left. If they go 18-11, which seems pretty doable at this point, I think they're there. They're right around there. Let's put it that way. They're right around there. That's like 44 wins, right? Or 45 wins. Should be about where we thought they were going to be in a long way around. you know, and then see where they're at. I think 7 would be an accomplishment. I think 6 would be a great accomplishment. Again, you know, we'll see who's healthy. We'll see how it all comes out. But they put themselves in a pretty nice position with just 2 wins, Slater. All it takes is 2 wins. This is after they lose in Utah and lose in L.A., and they just get 2 wins on the road, and then they look pretty good. You have to play it out, have to see how it goes. But there's a lot of positivity. Quinton Post is positivity. Obviously, what Butler is doing, what it could take off of Steph's shoulders, I think that is the biggest story. If it really loosens up Curry, if it really gets him feeling like there's purpose to this, and I think he is, he's definitely feeling that. If he starts, you know, he could go on a run. We haven't really seen him go on that tear where he's just scoring, you know, he's making 7 threes a game for 2 weeks. Like that is a run they could go on. And then let's see where it would take him in April.
Yeah, I agree. Anything else about tonight's game or this road trip?
Yeah. I'd just say that, you know, it'd be interesting to keep him, you know, where Jimmy Butler's saying, and he's in a good mood. How long is this going to last? I think it's going to last for the rest of the season. Could maybe not.
Like, you know how it always works where there, you know, this happens when you go from like a player's coach to a strict coach, and then, you know, players get, you know, tired of the strict coach, and then the next coach is a player's coach, and all you hear is these like subliminal, like, oh, it's so great. You know, he's doing that a little bit with like how joyful it is and happy and free and how much they help him or they allow him to be himself and how everybody's out there. And, you know, like he likes how Steve operates in the huddle where like anybody can give opinions. And, you know, it feels a little like it was not like this in Miami. You know, there's like a lot of that kind of dripping from it. But also we know, you know, what the Warriors vibe is. I mean, it is as relaxed as anything in the league. You know, they had the Kings Mavericks game on in the locker room post game. And, you know, Jimmy's drinking a Michelob Ultra and he's got his candle going again. And like, I do think he's enjoying, like, it isn't like a Miami locker room. Like, we know that. And Klay hit the game or the 3 that looked like it was going to win the game, and the whole locker room's going crazy, and you know, people are kind of happy for Klay in there. And I just think that this is the right vibe of a team at the right moment for him. And let's be honest, he's a guy who he keeps also referencing how great it feels to feel valued again and feel like they, you know, like a team that wants him and wants him to play, you know, and be himself. And again, I don't know exactly how it ended in Miami. And, you know, he's had the whole, like, oh, I was just out there running cardio at the end. And again, I think part of it is like self-sabotage, maybe, you know, right? For sure. But I will say, right time, right moment, right vibe for what he seems to want right now is what the Warriors provide typically to their players. So, I mean, it is a good situation for both sides, clearly.
It's a little weird that he's not going to play a home game for, what, 3 weeks? I mean, yeah. I'm just thinking I'm not going to see him for a long time because got this long road trip, then the All-Star break, then a game in Sacramento before he gets in front of the home crowd, before I'm going to see him, before he gets into the Bay Area.
And I told you that first game will be Klay back and Andre Iguodala jersey retirement.
Yep. On a 12:30 start, as I keep saying, that's the whole thing's going to be weird. It just feels a little odd. You know, you're seeing Luka has his LA debut tonight. You've had all this other stuff, Anthony Davis in Dallas, whatever. And it's just going to be weeks before you see Jimmy Butler in San Francisco. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's not good. I just feels bizarre that, you know, you're telling me all these things because you're there and I just have no sense of it just because I haven't been around it. But
I think it's been, I think in a weird way, it's been beneficial that he's starting off on the road because, like, you know, he's hanging out with Draymond a lot. Yep. They hung out and watched the Super Bowl yesterday. They stayed in Milwaukee and have like a little, you know, event at their hotel tonight. And like, I think it's allowing an immediate level of camaraderie with Jimmy and particularly his star teammates that if it's in the Bay Area, you know, Draymond's going home, Steph's going, you know, this and that. And I just, I do think the timing probably helps like quicken the integration process.
Yeah, I agree. It slows down the media integration part of this later, but that's okay.
Not for me, Tim. Yeah,
Not for Slater. We're just getting it from Slater. But these games are fun to watch now, man. We're talking about it. Like, they are interesting. They're interesting stuff is happening that they just, I mean, how long have I been talking about they don't get twos? How long have I been saying that?
Yeah.
Now Jimmy Butler goes out and hunts twos. And they're there. They are there for this team, and he will go get them, and he'll get fouled. And that this is something that I think Kerr's, you know, been dying for, and been saying, and they finally, you know, Schroeder was supposed to be that guy. I don't like ripping Schroeder. It was tough for him, but man, was he not doing this? He was absolutely not doing any of this, and he was kind of supposed to. So it just tells you the difference between a pretty good player and a star. Like Marcus was talking about this last pod. Jimmy Butler's just a star. He's not going to be great every game. And again, like I said, I don't think he was great tonight. But he just does stuff every game that matters. And Dennis Schroeder or many of the other players Andrew Wiggins, absolutely. You cannot say three plays that Andrew Wiggins is going to do that no one else is going to do. You can't say that. He just won't. It's not what he does anymore. And
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Jimmy Butler does. Even on a flat night. You know, Jimmy Butler was a zero on the plus minus net neutral. I don't know how that happened, because it seemed like they played well when he was out there. Pajemski and Draymond, who were playing with him, get all these plus things, and Jimmy is a zero. But, hey, that if you're a zero and your team wins and everyone thinks you played pretty well, that's not bad. Like, that's maybe as kind of middling as he's going to play. And it's a zero on the road in a game they win by 14, you know?
9 rebounds, 6 assists. Really, he's passing it really well. They had late in the, I think it was second quarter, they ran that, you know, pick and roll where Jimmy suddenly is the screener and diver, and he found Draymond twice.
Yeah,
almost Draymond playing the very much more groundbound Iguodala role in the dunker spot, catch a quick sneak layup. But that happened. Like, his passing's really good. And the 4 steals, as I mentioned, and then the 15 free throws. I mean,
we can save this for a longer conversation in another pod, but I guess like Draymond's shot is terrible right now, right? We all know he struggles with it off and on, but he could hit a 3 in the past, you know, whatever. There are things he could do.
He started the season really hot.
Yeah, and he's just, he cannot hit a 3. He doesn't take him anymore. And he can't even shoot a 4-footer. Like, he's just throwing the ball at that one where he tried to get the foul. He's just throwing it at the rim, praying for a foul. Like, this is a little worrisome for the Warriors, I think. Maybe it won't be long term. Maybe
when his body's not feeling the best, or when he's coming back from something that really impacts his jumper, historically, and you know, he's still 35% from 3, which is crazy because he started, he was in the 40s. Yeah. But yeah, no, like the cat, you know, if his calf was screwed up and it's, you know, he's coming back from that, I think that just affects the confidence in the jumper and certainly the flatness of the jump.
Yeah, but even like I'm talking like the 4-footers, the 4-footer, for sure. Or you know, the turnover in Utah when he just tapped it away and didn't want to get fouled, the free throws. I think his free throw shooting is a little bit better now, but it just, that's problematic. You know, when you got a guy who's 6 foot six, plays power forward or center, and will not shoot from even 4 feet. But again, it might just be him feeling it coming back. But I looked like, oh man, this does not look good for an NBA player. But there's time. There's time. They're winning. If it was not for Jimmy Butler, they might have lost these two games, and we'd be having an entire – we wouldn't even having this conversation later. We wouldn't even be doing a post-game podcast for Warriors at Milwaukee where they're not playing Giannis. But we're doing one now because it's a win, and things look a lot different with Jimmy Butler.
Okay. We will talk probably after the Mavericks game Wednesday night.
I guess. So that's a big one. All right. See you. Yeah.